So the question that arises, the question on which I'd like to spend just a few minutes, is what is the difference between being an individual and being an individualist? This is quite important, in a way it's quite crucial. An individual is one who has developed a higher degree, a higher level of consciousness, at least what we call reflexive consciousness. The individualist, on the other hand, still shares, so to speak, the consciousness of the group. In other words, the consciousness, the level of consciousness, which manifests in all members of the group. But the individualist has, in a manner of speaking, a larger share of this group consciousness than other members of that group. And the individualist therefore asserts his or her own interests at the expense of those of the group. In other words, at the expense of other, what I called last week, statistical individuals. The individualist, therefore, is alienated from the group in what we may call a vertical direction, whereas the individualist is alienated from the group, so to speak, horizontally. The individualist is a sort of fragment of the group, broken off from the group and reacting, even rebelling, against the group. The individualist, we may say, is a sort of one-man group. Really, it's a contradiction in terms, like a one-man band. But that's really what the individualist. He's a one-man group, or if you like, the group writ small. The individual, on the other hand, has passed or begun to pass beyond the group, which means beyond the group consciousness. He's no longer limited by the group consciousness. So much for that possible misunderstanding. The second possible misunderstanding relates to the traditional Buddhist teaching of anatta, or anatman, of which some of you, in the course of your explorations of Buddhism, might have come across. Anatta, or anatman, literally means no self, or even non-self, depending on the translation you prefer. And it's said, if you read any sort of textbook of Buddhism, it's said that Buddhism recognizes, as I've been insisting, the value of the individual, that it places the individual in the forefront of its teaching. But it might be objected that this, to say this, contradicts the teaching of no self or not self. It might be said that this teaching of anatta, or anatman, denies the very existence of the self, denies the existence of the individual, treats it as an illusion. So what happens then of the individual and the development of the individual? The difficulty, we may say, is more apparent than real, because the anatta teaching, or the anatma teaching, does not really deny the existence of the self. The Buddha, in fact, denies that, he says, that the self does not exist. He says this specifically. What the anatma teaching, or the anatta teaching, does deny is that there is an unchanging self. And it does this for two reasons. It denies that there's an unchanging self, with the emphasis on the unchanging, because an unchanging self would contradict Buddhism's basic teaching of the impermanence, which means the changeful nature, of all conditioned things. And secondly, because if the self was unchanging, the development of the self, the development of the individual, would be impossible, and this would make the spiritual life itself impossible, and Buddhism itself impossible too. So what I said in last week's talk does not, therefore, contradict the teaching of anatta. But we must be careful not to think that because development is possible, that there is an unchanging individual who develops. We may say that the subject of the verb develop is in reality a linguistic fiction.